the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Very welcome back to The Last Word. Danny McConnell sitting in for Matt Cooper this evening. Now, I'm honoured to say that I'm joined in studio by Cal Thomas, who's here home. Oh, well, home from America. You're certainly visiting here, Cal, with Mary McKeown online. Good evening to you both.
Well, thank you very much, Danny.
Good evening.
If you get to know me better, you wouldn't say you were honoured, but I appreciate it.
Well, and you're both fresh from the Kennedy Summer School. How'd you get on?
Sold out performance. It was terrific. As soon as they heard Marion was showing up, they bought tickets.
He's just too kind. Had a great time. We really had a good chat, I think, and it seemed to have gone very well. And always a pleasure to see my old sparring partner, Cal, in the flesh.
Watch that old stuff on the line.
Now, speaking of old, is Donald Trump dying? There seems to be rumors that there was. Cal, you might kick us off.
Oh, this is really a funny story for me. The media, which covered up President Joe Biden's decline for years, the staff people who said he was perfectly articulate, he was on his game, he knew everything, are now saying just a few months into Trump's second term that he's dying because bruises he had on his hand. Now, I grant you that the White House tried to cover up initially, saying it was just from too much shaking hands, and then we found out later it was something to do with his veins, which apparently is not unusual for older people, of which I do not include myself.
Marion, obviously, given the strength of which Donald Trump attacked the cover-up in relation to Joe Biden, I mean, the Liberals are relishing this sort of, have relished this sort of discussion that his health may be failing. But there's never really, like, it's not true. I mean, he's clearly all right. But, I mean, this did garner some legs, this suggestion that he was, because he hasn't been seen for over a week.
Yeah, you know, he's been seen 3 days in a row playing golf. He hasn't been seen performing any presidential duties unless you count posting nonsense on Truth Social. But I think, you know, Cal's absolutely right. This is just people seizing on something that actually isn't there. We don't know. We're not his doctors. He might be in bad health. I mean, he's almost 80 years old. He's lived on buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken and burgers all his life and Diet Coke. The only exercise he seems to get is cheating at golf and using his tweeting finger. But, you know, I mean, be that as it may, we don't know, but because he had disappeared, as you said, this bruise and the venous condition that he does have, people are just putting two and two together and 1,000. And apparently this evening, the internet has gone berserk because he's making an announcement at 2 p.m. US time this afternoon, and everybody thinks he's going to resign and hand it all over to J.D. Vance. And well, we'll just see, okay? We'll just see.
Yeah, because in July, the press secretary, Caroline Levitt, disclosed that Trump, age 79, had been diagnosed with chronic venous insufficiency. It's a common condition of older people, and it occurs in the legs or in the veins of the legs, which struggle to carry blood to the heart.
Yeah, well,
that's it exactly.
Yeah, these kinds of things that pop up give people like us something to talk about. But there's so many more important things going on in the world. And I think Marion is right on this. We haven't heard from his doctor other than the Venus business, and I think it'll all go away in another 24 hours. Congress is coming back, unfortunately, which means more spending and less attention to the national debt, now at $37 trillion. And we have this debt ceiling business that we always see. October 1st is the deadline because before the government shuts down, which it never does, unfortunately. So we'll be playing that game now starting tomorrow.
Marion, are we into this kind of... I won't say near perennial, but almost, you know, it's become a very frequent vista in American policies, is the idea of a government shutdown. As Cal says, you know, there's concern around the spending, long-standing concerns around the spending, but how real is that threat of a government shutdown, do you think?
You know, it's like the Congress that cried wolf. We hear it every single time, but there's a lot of fireworks lining up in the next couple of months. I think there needs to be no doubt about that. And we could start off with, you know, Trump has really taken over the power of the purse from Congress, and the Republicans have let him. But now a couple of them are getting a little bit ticked off. Things like he just basically grabbed back nearly $5 billion in foreign aid that had been allocated at a point when it was just too late for anyone to do anything. It's called a pocket rescission. It's a power grab. another one. And they're just getting fed up between this and the tariffs and everything else. But the big thing that's happening this afternoon to start off is Mike Johnson has now scheduled a meeting with some of the Jeffrey Epstein victims, because they were invited up to Congress anyway by Tom Massey. Tom Massey is a guy who has no time for Trump. He's a Republican and he could care less what people think of him. A lot of people think he's a bit bonkers. Maybe he is. But anyway, he and Ro Khanna, who's a Californian Republican, want to go forward with this thing called a discharge petition, I beg your pardon, which would force Mike Johnson to put legislation on the floor and would force a vote to release all the files, all the Epstein files that the government has. Now, Massey says that he's got his people earlier today said he has the numbers, him and five more Republicans, and they could force this thing. Obviously, Johnson, who sent them all home early precisely to avoid this, does not want this to happen. So he's meeting with the victims. We don't know, but we've got Kennedy coming up on Thursday. There will be fireworks in the, when he appears before the Senate committee about firing the CDC chief. Then we've got, as you say, the threats of shutdown, all the disagreements over spending, the temporary stopgap measures. It's going to be a roller coaster.
Well, Marion, Kennedy says that he's going to announce what has caused autism in just a couple of days. Apparently,
that is right.
Doctors and researchers for many, many years have missed something that RFK Jr. has found. Amazing.
And he's not even a doctor. It's quite a miracle.
Play one on TV.
Cal, Donald Trump also gave the leaders of Russia and Ukraine an early September deadline to basically reach a peace agreement, or they may face US retaliation. Yeah. Time is ticking on that, isn't it?
Well, the deadline has passed, and I'm wondering if this is going to be another Obama-Syria moment, when President Obama said if Syria used chemical weapons, it was going to suffer severe consequences. Under the Assad regime, Syria did use chemical weapons, and they did not suffer consequences. I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he talks about his good friend Putin, who's now palling around with Xi and even Kim Jong-un and Modi, the head of the Indian government, trying to form a whole new axis of some kind, if not evil, then of something. So I think what needs to be done, and I'm not sure it's going to be done, is severe sanctions, secondary sanctions, and selling arms to NATO, which NATO can then use to supply Ukraine. Whether any of that will happen, I don't know. I'm not sure that Trump knows.
Marion?
You know, I absolutely agree with Cal. And this meeting today in China with Modi and Putin and Xi and Erdogan and, to paraphrase Beyonce, all the single strong men, they're all there and Trump isn't. And you know that that is where he would really like to be, because this is such a thumb in Trump's eye from Putin, who was feted and slaved over in Alaska, walked away, gave Trump nothing. And now he's hanging out in India. I beg your pardon, in China with his bros. And it's just this realignment. Look, Putin is nobody's friend. Putin is Russia's friend and the old Soviet Union's friend, but he will ally with whoever he wants. And if he can undermine and humiliate America in the process, so much the better. And Trump has completely miscalculated this, in my view. And now, you know, America has spent 30 years cultivating India because it's the world's biggest democracy, and it's right on China's border. And Trump goes and slaps these 50% tariffs on India, nothing on Russia, and basically pushes India into China's arms. And the reason behind it, the Indian diplomats have been very quick to point out, is that Modi, it's not because India, they claim, is buying oil from Russia. It's because Modi refused to nominate Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize when the leader of Pakistan agreed to do so. And it just, you know, it may be laughable, the reason he did that, but the effects of it, the consequences of Trump doing this, are really devastating. Not just for America, but for democracy in the world.
Well, I have to say, your fans have been in touch by text. The first one, I cannot believe Cal is in studio and Matt isn't. Danny, make sure Matt brings him out for a good dinner before he leaves. Cal and Marion are my favourite slot.
Very nice.
Another text says, we met Marion at the Electric Picnic. What a lovely lady. Really enjoyed her talk with Jared Regan. Delighted to have met her. And one more. Cal, is this the same doctor that said Trump is 6'3" and 224 pounds? Danny, could you ask Cal and Marion, if Trump was to go, what would happen to the Republican Party? Would they and their parties fall apart? Cal, take that one.
Well, I think the Democrats have fallen apart. They have no leader. They have no issues other than than males in female locker rooms and playing in women's sports. They were for the open border, higher taxes, and they just don't have a leader. I think Republicans have a much better bench. I feel a little less positive toward Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, who, along with every other cabinet member last week, in a three-hour cabinet meeting, I've never heard of anything like that before, were doing nothing but suck up to Trump. Due to your great leadership, Mr. President, we've achieved the following. Yes, Mr. President, without you, we never could have been successful in this area. I mean, it was an embarrassment to watch. I had to call my dentist and make an appointment for a tooth cleaning.
Marion, do you think the Republican Party without Trump would be in the same sort of difficulty?
The Republican Party with Trump is a cult. And I've seen that over and over at events around the country. And the only person, without wanting to alarm the listeners out there, who gets anything like the same reaction at events with the MAGA base I'm talking now is Donald Trump Jr. People do not like J.D. Vance. You know, he thinks he's going to be the next president. Maybe he will. We don't know. But people don't warm to him. He's just, you know, he just comes across as this kind of nasty guy who's just riddled with grievances and no sense of humour. And that's not to say that he's not a smart guy and he's not hugely ambitious and very strategic, but he's a shapeshifter. He'll do whatever is required of him to further his own career in the moment. And I think people sense that. And they do think that Trump, for all of his faults, they do feel there's an authenticity about Trump. But as I say, his formidable communication skills and the fact that he hates and resents the same people that a lot of people in America who feel marginalized and you know, trodden on, also dislike and blame for their woes, has really elevated him to a cult status. He's also a brilliant salesman. I don't know, Marco Rubio, I saw him in 2016, saw his act when he was running in 2016 on the stump, wasn't particularly impressed by it at all. I agree with Cal that the Democratic Party is in complete disarray at the moment. They're running around like headless chickens. But I do think that Gavin Newsom, who I've never really thought, certainly not in 2024, would have been elected, because at that point the Democrats wanted somebody who was a woman or somebody from a minority. I think now they just want somebody who will fight and be prepared to just punch the Republicans in the mouth. So far it looks like Newsom.
Now, the White House released a motivational video of Donald Trump offering what he calls 11 life-changing lessons and a highlight reel of his personal philosophies and recipes for success. I think we have a quick clip of this.
Let me share some of the biggest lessons I've learned from a lifetime spent building dreams. First, if you think that you're too young to do something great, let me tell you that you are wrong. You're not too young. In America, with drive and ambition, young people can do anything. Second of all, and very importantly, you have to love what you do. I rarely see somebody that's successful that doesn't love what he or she does. Third thing is to think big. You know, you're going to do something, you might as well think big, because it's just as hard to solve a small problem as a big problem, and it's just as much energy and everything else, except the result is going to be a smaller one. So love what you do, but think big. Fourth is work hard. Work hard. Fifth is don't lose your momentum. You just want to keep it going, and you have to know if you are losing it, you have to know when you're losing it, so maybe you stop and maybe it's time to stop. Number six, if you want to change the world, you have to have the courage to be an outsider. In other words, you have to take certain risks and do things a little bit differently. Otherwise, if that weren't the case, everybody would be successful. Number seven is to trust your instincts, common sense. You can go very far in life with common sense. Eighth.
Okay, well, I think we won't listen to all 11, but Cal, is the gospel according to Donald Trump?
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. I guess by that standard, I'm a complete failure. Boo-hoo. I mean, who needs this? I mean,
10 Hail Marys for you now.
Well, you know, he was influenced by a guy named Norman Vincent Peale at Marble Collegiate Church in New York, who wrote a best-selling book back in the 1950s called The Power of Positive Thinking. So I think that's probably where he's getting this idea from. But I don't know. I just shake my head at something. Of this stuff.
Marion, Donald Trump is facing a number of court battles and a Supreme Court battle over tariffs and his implementation of tariffs. He's not getting it all his own way.
No, well, we'll see when it gets to the Supreme Court. But, you know, it was obvious to anyone. And I noted even a lot in the Irish media of people getting really hysterical about this. It was obvious to a first-year law student that Trump does not have the legal authority to impose these tariffs. And they were always going to be struck down. And I think, Cal and I, that we spoke about this on this show several weeks back. So, you know, and I think also that may have been why Ursula von der Leyen, when she met him, appeared so calm and collected, and people said, oh, she capitulated. But I think there was a belief that he was acting way beyond his powers legally. Now, the thing is that will the Supreme Court, which has been so willing to bend the knee to Trump and to turn itself into a legal pretzel to accommodate him, will they step up at this point? Because the Constitution is clear and the law is clear that the power of taxing, tariffs and trade rests with Congress. Now, the fact that the Republican-dominated Congress has abdicated its responsibility to Trump does not mean that Trump can do this anyway. It's still illegal, even if they're all like rolling over for him. So I think what will happen is if the Supreme Court stands up to Trump and just enforces the Constitution, that he will have to go a different route. And that route will be a 1974 Act, which will allow him to impose a maximum of 15% tariffs for a maximum of 150 days. And then he would have to get permission from Congress to extend it, which he will probably get. But it means that the tariffs are probably going to be capped at 15%. And now Trump may have to give back all of the trillions he's claimed, which is actually about 100 billion. Certainly he'll have to, if the Supreme Court upholds the appeal court's decision, he'll have to refund all the money to the companies that brought the action. And then you can be damn sure all the other companies are going to bring actions too.
Last word to you, Cal.
Well, I want to know where the money is. You know, again, we have a $37 trillion debt. The interest on the debt is greater than the GDP of many nations. Where's the money? I mean, if you bring money back into the United States, and particularly if you allow Congress to get a whiff of it, it's like asking Dracula to drink less blood. It's just not going to happen.
Cal Thomas, Mary McKeown, thank you so much for being with us on The Last Word.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.